From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. Islamic groups claim responsibility. The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for the deadly attack on Tunisia's National Museum that killed 23 people, mostly foreign tourists. The Islamist group's statement was posted in an online forum that carries messages from the group. The U.S.-based Site Intelligence Group reported the message appeared to be authentic. Earlier Thursday, Tunisian authorities said they arrested 9 people in connection with the massacre at Tunisia's Bardo National Museum. No details about the suspects were immediately disclosed. An unidentified warplane attacked the presidential palace in Yemen's southern city of Aden on Thursday. Security forces loyal to former Yemeni leader Ali Abdullah Saleh attacked the international airport in Aden early Thursday, triggering a battle with militia loyal to President Abd Rabu Mansour Hadi, the country's internationally recognized leader. The fighting forced the airport's closure. Forces on both sides also fought in other parts of the port city. Officials say 4 pro-Saleh fighters and 2 militiamen were killed in the clashes. There were also a number of injuries. President Obama has telephoned congratulations to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday, 2 days after the prime minister was reelected to a 4th term. A White House statement says Mr. Obama stressed the importance that the U.S. puts on its close military and security cooperation with Israel. He also reaffirmed the U.S. commitment to a 2-state solution in any peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. But a U.S. official said Mr. Obama also told the prime minister that the administration will have to reassess its policies toward Israel after Mr. Netanyahu appeared to backtrack on his support for a 2-state solution. This is VOA News. Meanwhile, President Obama sent Nowruz or New Year's greetings to Iranians on Friday, telling them that this year is the best opportunity in decades to pursue a different future between Iran and the U.S.
This is what's at stake today, and this moment may not come again soon. I believe that our nations have a historic opportunity to resolve this issue peacefully, an opportunity we should not miss.
With a deadline for a nuclear agreement a little more than a week away, he said the days ahead will be critical. He appealed to the Iranian people to speak up for the future. He said Iranians' leaders have a choice between 2 paths. Meanwhile, as international negotiations with Iran to curb its nuclear program enter this critical phase in Switzerland, Obama administration officials sparred with members of a congressional panel on Thursday on what role Congress should play in those talks. VOA's Cindy Sain reports from Capitol Hill.
U.S. lawmakers seemed to grow increasingly nervous and tense Thursday as unconfirmed reports and rumors surfaced that a draft of an Iran nuclear deal is being circulated among the parties to the negotiations. Later in the day, State Department spokesperson Jen Psaki dismissed reports of a deal.
The reports are inaccurate. There's no draft document being circulated. The fundamental framework issues are still under comprehensive discussion.
Both Republican and Democratic members of the House Foreign Affairs Committee said Congress' role in the whole negotiating process must not be marginalized. Cindy Sain, VOA News, on Capitol Hill.
Democratic ranking member Elliot Engel said he and Republican Chairman Ed Royce are sending a letter to President Obama expressing their concerns about what needs to be done in an Iran nuclear deal. European Union leaders meeting in Brussels say they will not lift economic sanctions against Russia until a ceasefire Moscow endorsed last month for war-torn eastern Ukraine is fully implemented. EU President Donald Tusk announced the decision late Thursday. He said it shows the clear intent of the 28-nation EU to continue pressing Moscow to end its support for the pro-Russian rebellion that has claimed more than 6,000 lives in the past 11 months. A U.S.-based rights group says both government and rebel forces used cluster bombs in eastern Ukraine in January and February. Human Rights Watch says at least 13 civilians were killed. The group said Thursday that neither side in the conflict should be using such weapons and warned that their use could constitute war crime. President Malawi is calling for stronger efforts to catch and punish those behind a series of albino killings. President Peter Mutharika describes the attacks as barbaric. Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.